and are perfecting through his trusting in the Lord. For a title, the devil may reach your doorstep, but don't let him in. He may come and knock on your door. Don't let him in. Fight to resist it. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Satan has the privilege for many years, and I guess it's still going on, to walk to and fro in the earth. He asked God one time, he even went up to heaven. God said, what you been doing? Of course, God knew what he been doing. He said, I've been to and fro in the earth, and I ain't seen nobody down there worth saving. All these people that you talking about serve you, they ain't nothing. That's what Satan went before to God. In other words, he's a modern-day snitch. That's what he is, man. He was going to tell them all that. You know, hey, they ain't right down there. They even pretend to go to church. They ain't right. Faith's a mess. Faith's a mess. Let him come to your doorstep and just don't let him in. Now, Israel at this time had a division as far as northern Israel and southern Israel or Judah. Actually, it was the 10 tribes versus the 2 tribes, the 2 small. So there was a separation going on. Hezekiah was king of Judah, the smaller group. Actually, they still had a large following, but they weren't as large as the northern altogether conglomerate churches. And so Hezekiah had become king. He was a son of a king named Ahab, who was a wicked king in himself. But the Bible says that Hezekiah did all that was right in the sight of God. He was a good king. He was a good man. See, not just holding the title, he was already in himself a man of God. Bible says none was like him, either before him or after. As a matter of fact, he was the best king, according to God's word. Of all the kings that the Bible has missed, and you know this Bible has many kings, this man was the fruit of the kingdom. He was the best of the kings. The Bible says he clave to the Lord and did not leave him and kept his word. Now, you know when you play to something, when your children are young, you know, especially my youngest son, Irwin, when he used to grab a hold of me, I'd be walking somewhere, he'd just grab a hold of me, grab my pant leg or whatever. He stuck with me just like, and I don't say it, but, you know, he's not my favorite child, but I get in trouble when they say that he's my favorite. I ain't got no favorite. I ain't got no favorites, y'all. I ain't got no favorites. But, you know, he stayed home until he got married. It was 31. So I said, it's time for you to get out this nest. But he found somebody, and God gave him a good wife, and they are doing very well. But he claimed to me, and Hezekiah slave to God. Wouldn't that be something that you would like to be called? Someone who claims to God? To be known, that's what he does. He claims to God. What a can you cling to more? The Bible said the Lord was with him, and he prospered this man. Wheresoever he went, the Bible says God prospered him. It's interesting to me that this man Hezekiah outshone his father. Many times, we don't see it from that angle, but we should be better than our parents. We should be better than our parents. Not necessarily that we do that, but we would think that things get better in life instead of getting worse. I mean, now you have the experience of doing the things, seeing what your father and mother did and say, hey, no, I ain't doing that. That got them in trouble. I'm not going to do that like that. But it seems like instead of us getting better, we seem to be, Bible said, man, waxing worse. So what we should be improving. I would pray that my children have a more fruitful life than mine. I pray that God would bless them, that they would understand better that the things that I've done, they can better from and learn from it and improve. That's what my prayer would be, that they would be better. Now, I know King Ahaz didn't pray that about his son, but the Bible said he was a wicked man. He was a wicked king. A wicked king. And you know, a wicked king is, Donald Trump ain't got nothing on him. I don't care how bad Donald Trump is. Donald Trump ain't got nothing on him. These were kings. And they behaved in ways that would not be nice. Well, during this rule of King Hezekiah, the Bible says that a king named Sennacherib of Assyria overtook him and tried to change and overrule all of Israel. He actually did do it. And Hezekiah bowed to him by giving the gold from the church doors and everything that was, you know, that certain way they had to build their temples and all that. He took all that gold and stripped Israel down. And Hezekiah had to do that in order to still keep Israel together. He was making a deal with the devil. When he should have been saying, Lord help me. Now he eventually got there. But then again, maybe God said, well, maybe he was praying and just, God said, I'm going to let you go through some stuff first so that people will know. Even though you know, your people might know that I'm God. Satan had came in to that community. He was in the neighborhood. He was running amok in the neighborhood. He ain't come in Hezekiah's house, but he's when you can get into a neighborhood, you can tear a neighborhood up, make it bad for everybody living there. Satan was in the neighborhood. It lets us know that we have to be prayerful every day of our life. We must be a prayer-stirring people. Because see, just like Satan attacked this man of God, this kingdom of God, Satan will attack you and me. His job and his mission is to destroy us and break us down and take our powerful God away from our heart. Makes us want to serve somebody else. Hezekiah didn't want to do that. But he was challenged, giving up all. I know how they had to feel. I'm in charge. That's like if something happened to Solid Rock and I'm trying to be the pastor and I stop this goes a roar, you know, like, oh man, you know, that's a burden as a leader that you have. The same way in your house. When your children behave a certain way, it affects you. It takes the core of you and just tears you down. It's a tough thing. This man, Sennacherib, he had broken down other kingdoms before he had done this to Hezekiah. He had made them. And so Hezekiah kept telling the people, don't worry, God's going to do everything. And this king said, no, your God ain't getting up. You see other people out in the store? You know what I did to their gods? I destroyed them. So if I did that to their gods, I'm going to do it to your God. But he didn't know our God. This wicked king just didn't know our God. He couldn't do nothing with our God, even though he tried. Here's what God said in 1932. It's what he said to the good there. I'm going to read verses 30 through 35. It says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The remnant, I mean, those people who are left. I've done some destruction here, so people have left. Out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. This is what he says about the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. He says, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a beg against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. And even though they had given up all this valuable stuff, he says, they ain't coming in this city. Now, watch out what happens. And that's for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of Assyria, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and brought that Nineveh. And then eventually even his own sons killed him. So what it says is, I don't care how bad Satan attacks you, God will allow him to do something so that you will know who's God. But then God will sit down and put his foot down. Said, oh, no, you can't go no further than that. That's what he told the devil over your life. The devil can't go but so far. Oh, he can try you and he can trick you and he can do things, but God said he got a limit. He put his brakes on Satan. Like he put his brakes on this king. Oh, yeah, he challenged the king. They challenged Hezekiah. They put all kinds of pressure on him. They squeezed the life out of him almost. But God said, that's as far as you go. And that's the same way God has done for your life. It looks like it's all over with sometimes. Like you're facing a mountain of things. You don't know how you're going to make it. It looks overwhelming, but I'm telling the God that we serve. He said, I got this. I'm your steel and your buckler. I am that I am. I'm your protector. I will be with you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, might look overwhelming, but I know what God can do. When he said that I'll be with him, he means it. When he said that I am your king and I am your officer and finisher of your faith, he means it. That's the thing that really surprises us, how close God allows Satan to get. He allows him to get really close. Then he shuts the door. But that makes us trust God. It teaches us to trust God. If God said it, I believe it, and that's enough. God said he'll be with me, I believe it. I tell you, and I remember this the rest of my life, obviously. But when my wife was in the hospital, the doctors told us, doesn't look good, and we've done the best we can. And I had been doing my fasting and praying. I can't remember the song. I recorded some of it. The Lord gave me a song, a word, in the hospital. My wife has never heard it yet. I never told her. But it was on my phone, and it was my heart that hurt me, that I was feeling. Because I believe God when he said, I'll be with you. I just believe God. And I said, I don't know how this is happening. The doctor's saying it's over with, and we done the best we can. This is before they knew what this coronavirus was. They didn't know this. And nobody heard of this thing. But that's what she had. God brought her through that. And I'm telling you, fasting and prayer work. I'm telling you, it works. But I tell you, you feel the anguish of the hurt. That's what God allows us to feel. It almost prepares your mind for death. You have to, okay. God, if you say so. Yeah. He knew his child could be without a wife. he knew that this is his son needed a wife. And God brought her through that. And I just look at her sometimes and I just, what a gift you are. You don't know what you mean to me. You don't know. Because see, God is able to allow us to feel a place that, you know, we had last July, whatever it was, we lost my son's son. And I had a hard time believing that because it was an emergency thing. And some things didn't go right. The doctors did not notice some things. But I tell you, I just knew that God was going to bring that through. And for us to go through that, it let me know that God says sometimes we have to take on the burden that we are not ready to take. So we just have to take it and trust God and know that God is still God. And some people lose their sanity in those things. They lose their own, they lose their identity. People turn away from God. But see, what it is it's a test of our trusting him. We still have to trust. We still have to trust. And in spite of it, all we still have to trust. And this king, I know how he felt. Even, that's not the rest of the biggest part of this man's book is this, Hezekiah. The Bible says the king, the prophet came to him and told him, said, look, you know, God said, get your house in order. I'm not ready to take your life. This is after all this stuff had happened about his kingdom. And Hezekiah said, wait a minute, God, don't you see the stuff that I've been doing for you? I've been on service for you. But God is telling him it's time to go home. And he has a problem accepting this time to go home. And he said, God, can you extend my life? He had a world on his body that was infected. And here's what's interesting about that boil. The Bible says that God told the prophet, just tell him to take this certain plant and put it on that boil. Now, God doesn't have to do that, but he used that. And it let me know. And then the Bible says God healed him. But he said that plant was to help in the healing. That lets us know that God sometimes uses the doctor, uses medicine to help heal us, even though he has the ultimate healing power. But lets us know that he uses other ways to heal you. And so Hezekiah was healed, and the Bible says he was extended 15 years to his life. Now, he was a good man, a wonderful king. But see, even the best, God allows them to go through these trials and tribulations. So whatever trials you're having, we're not too good to have. God allows this to happen for his own glorifying and his own glorification. God is glorified in his suffering. His kingdom is made more brighter when others see his subjects come through difficult times. You and I, other people look at us knowing that we're Christians. And they want to see how we are as Christians, whether we're real or whether we're fluke. Because see, a lot of folks will go against God because they see how God's people act. A lot of folks will go against God because they see how God's people act. And I don't want to be accused of not acting like God's people. Like a real Christian. I want to be known to be a Christian. I want to be a full Christian, not a part-time Christian. And so this Hezekiah was a model Christian. But I'm going to close with this. I told you from the beginning, Satan, he come to your door, just don't let him in. But there's one who will come. He says, oh, I stand and knock at the door, and open up, and I will come in and talk with him, and he with me. I'm knocking on your door. That's Jesus Christ. He will come in and knock on your door, and then you just got to let him in. He wants to be in fellowship with you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to let you know that no matter how Hezekiah situation turned out, it's between you and your God. He wants that relationship to be manifested. He wants the world to see that there's a God still on this planet. That God has not left us. He's hearing the Holy Spirit. That he's walking with us and talking with us and showing us how to live a righteous life. God is still with us. It might look difficult sometimes. It might look overwhelming sometimes. But know that your God is with you. His name is Jesus Christ. Some call him the lily of the valley, that bright and morning star. Jesus, the great I am, is with you. And you got to know that. Share that news with your children. Share that news with your family. Let the world know that there's nobody like Jesus on this planet. That Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He said, I'll be with you. When Jesus comes in, he brings peace. When Jesus comes in, he brings love. Let him in your heart. When Jesus comes in, you know that you have been impacted by his life, by his love. You know that. And so I'm just saying, let him in. Invite him in. Talk with him. The more you talk with him, the more closer you get to him. Just talk with him. Spend time with our Father, with our God. Spend time with him. It's good to know that he has made everything all right. Amen. Amen. Praise God.